Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So have you heard about the volcano? I know, with so many other things going on, maybe not. But our listeners whose roots are in St. Vincent or some other places in the Caribbean, St. Vincent, if you don't know, is southeast of Puerto Rico. It's the biggest island in the Grenadines chain. And lots of people in the region are talking about this and being affected by it. It's the La Sufrea volcano on St. Vincent. And since last Friday, a week ago today, periodic eruptions have covered that island in ash, and flows of molten lava gush down the mountainside. Residents have been told to evacuate and are without clean water or electricity. It's unclear when the eruptions will stop, but the ensuing humanitarian crisis is not likely to be short-lived. So with me now, so this doesn't fall through the cracks, to talk about the science of the eruptions is Robert George Andrews, volcanologist turned science journalist. He writes about volcanoes for National Geographic, the New York Times, and other places. And in a few minutes, we'll be joined by a community organizer here in Brooklyn working to get supplies to St. Vincent. So Dr. Andrews, hello, and welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And listeners, we can take a few phone calls here, too, if you have a connection to St. Vincent. I know it's an island of only about, I think the population is around 110,000 people. I think 110,000 people live on my block in New York City, so not that many people. But if you are from St. Vincent or have connections to St. Vincent or anywhere else in the region being affected by this, give us a call and tell us what you're hearing, what people are seeing, experiencing, what they need. 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. Dr. Andrews, can you describe these eruptions and when they're happening and what they look like?
Yeah, so the eruption actually began back in December, actually. It didn't really make the news because the eruption was really calm then. It was doing what this sort of volcano in this part of the world tends to do, and it was ooze, this toothpaste-like mass of lava that just slowly grew into like a dome-like shape and then a really long slug-like shape in the summit of the volcano, which is on the northern side of the island. And so it was already erupting, but that kind of eruption isn't dangerous because it's not exploding or anything like that. And although it's yet to be confirmed, the working theory is that below this sort of gloopy extrusion of old magma, there was this new magma coming up that was full of gas. And when you've got gloopy magma and a lot of trapped gas, that can often lead to explosions. So since April the 9th, or so last Friday, there's just been a series of massive explosions at the summit, some of which have caused pyroclastic flows, which are these like superheated, super fast avalanches of ash and gas that you cannot outrun. They can actually go uphill and bounce along the water. All the while, ash is just covering the whole island, you know, to varying degrees sort of thing. So for the first few days of these explosions, you know, the sun was almost invisible at points. You know, it was a sort of, you know, apocalyptic kind of darkness. It would have been just very psychologically, at the least, very scary. So so the latest is that there are still explosions rocking the summit. There was a change in the activity yesterday, I think, or within the last 24 hours, where it looked like maybe it was about to calm down. But then there was another large explosion this morning. So, yeah, it'll probably continue for some time into the future.
Has anyone been seriously hurt or killed by the eruptions themselves? Or what else do you know as a volcanologist about the effect on the population?
Yeah, so amazingly, as of the latest count, no one has been killed by this eruption, which is a remarkable thing that's only been achieved because you know, scientists at, you know, the University of the West Indies and on the island and in the region have been monitoring this volcano very carefully because it's got quite a violent reputation. Once that lava dome started to appear, they were listening very carefully. And in the days before the explosions began on April the 9th, there were seismic signals that were linked to the movement of magma, like the very sudden rush up of magma. And so they alerted the authorities, and the authorities listened to the scientists, and they ordered an evacuation, you know, the day before. So that displaced up to like 20,000, maybe 30,000 people in the north of the island. And probably because of that evacuation order, because the authorities listened to the scientists, you know, it saved many lives, you know. And so at the moment, no one has been killed. But the main problem is that, you know, these people had to suddenly evacuate to the south of the island or offshore. And they were only allowed on boats offshore if they had been vaccinated against COVID. And there's only one road down to the south, so it was kind of chaotic. So the evacuation was still ongoing as the eruption was happening. But still, no one has been killed. It's just, you know, there's power cuts. The water's been polluted by the ash. So it's certainly a prolonged disaster. But the fact that no one's been killed is kind of an impressive thing.
And let me make sure I'm saying the name of the volcano right. It looks to me like the French, and I'm not previously familiar with this volcano, La Soufrière, but I saw a pronouncer that said Soufrière. How do you say the name of the volcano?
I've been told both, so I'm not 100% sure myself. I've been saying both, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, let's bring in another guest who might know that, as well as what's going on with people on St. Vincent. It's Nicole DeCall. She's a community organizer here in Brooklyn working to get supplies to people on the island after these evacuations. She was born in the U.S. and has family in the area, but not in the red or orange zones directly. Hi, Nicole. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you have family in the St. Vincent region. Welcome to WNYC.
Yes,
and are your family members safe as far as you
yes,
know?
Yes, they are. They are safe, yes.
Good. What else is important to know right off the bat for people in our listening area?
That the people, the evacuees right now, they can be up in shelters up until December. So right now, the organization that I'm working with, we're trying to get these items that we're collecting out as fast as possible because these people are really in need and we need to do everything that we can to help the evacuees.
And during national disasters, it's sometimes more helpful to donate money. Other times it's more helpful to donate supplies. You're asking for supplies. So what are you asking for? What do people need?
Well, we really do need the supplies more than the money, I feel, at this point, because, I mean, the airports are closed. Items are selling out in stores. So we're trying to get people to give us items so that we can ship it out, because when their items run out, they don't have anything to buy in stores. So we have to get everything down there. But right now we need like disposable cutlery, toilet paper, flashlights, you name it, we need it. They need everything right now. So, yeah.
And listeners will tell you how to make those donations in a couple of minutes so you have time to get something to write with. But let's take a phone call right now from Melissa in Ocean Hill, Brooklyn, who says she has family in St. Vincent. Hi, Melissa. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Good morning. I just wanted to call both sides of my family from St. Vincent, although I have some living here, and I did not grow up there. But I've been checking in on my family chat and checking all the news via social media to get updates on how things are going. Talked to my grandmother and my aunt recently, and like the entire country is covered in ash. Water is an issue, and I'm not sure if they've rectified that yet because they get their water from rivers, and the rivers look like rivers of ash. Some of my family are trying to make it here. They can't do it via plane, so they have to take a ship to another location and then fly out from there. I did just recently donate with a company called Standard Shippers that have been around. I've been related to them at some point, who is collecting supplies. They've shipped to St. Vincent like all my life, and I'm 42. Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, these companies that regularly ship down there are taking donations, and, you know, we're sending everything from, you know, diapers to, you know, formula, food, water. So if anybody can donate, you can just drop by and they will ship it for free. And the owner's name is Festus York, if anybody asks. So there is a lot. They don't get regular shipments. Like, we usually ship barrels to them for certain supplies because they're just extremely expensive on a regular basis. And so they need constant, like, additional supplies from family members usually here.
Melissa, thank you so much for that vivid description and all those details. Nicole, undrinkable water that has turned to the color of ash from the volcano and the rivers that people use to get their drinking water. That's serious.
Yeah, it is. It's really serious.
Do you want to tell everybody, because they're probably primed to write down some contact information for places where they can send supplies right now, make donations. What can you tell people if they want to help?
So for more information, you guys can contact me at mondaymagicsvg@gmail.com. We can coordinate a time for you guys to drop off your goods. We're located at 4515 Avenue D in Brooklyn, New York.
You want to give that email address again?
Sure. MondayMagic, MondayMagicsvg@gmail.com. So we're connected. Monday Magic Experience is connected to Oxygen Mass, which is a leading carnival organization in St. Vincent that's working with these shelters to make sure that the evacuees get all the items that we're shipping down.
By the way, Nicole, how do you say the name of the volcano?
La Soufriere.
And on La Soufriere, Dr. Andrews, for you as a volcanologist, you wrote recently, I see, that the volcano has a deadly reputation and history. There are something like 19 other live volcanoes in the Eastern Caribbean. Is there something that makes this one more active than many of the others?
No, they're all. Each volcano is kind of its own has its own personality, so they all kind of act in a slightly different way. This volcano isn't any more active in that sense than any of the others in the region. So they can all be quite dangerous. I mean, there was an eruption on Martinique and Mount Pelee in 1902, and it killed 30,000 people in an instant. So this was before, you know, atomic weapons were a thing. So that must have been a horrific sight to see. So if essentially you have people living around volcanoes, you know, there's always going to be some danger. But these volcanoes in this region have the ability to switch between being quite calm to very, very explosive and dangerous very shortly. And scientists are actually still trying to work out why that is. It's not entirely clear why they can do that. But a lot of it's to do with how much gas gets trapped. So if you have sticky magma and you have a lot of gas traps and that gas can't easily escape, that's when you're more likely to get explosions. So, but why they switch back and forth like that, it's an ongoing question.
Sarissa in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hello, Sarissa.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Thanks for everything. And I have a donation that I have to mail to you. I am from the tiny island of Montserrat in the Caribbean. Mm. We were in London, England in 1995 on vacation when the Soufriere Hills volcano started to erupt. And half of Montserrat is destroyed. It's like a modern-day Pompeii. Ask your volcanologist about that. On top of that mountain, Chance's Peak was a little pond. We used to call it Chance's Pond. We never knew it was a crater lake. It's after the volcano erupted that we knew it was a crater lake. And Montserrat is a very tiny colony, British colony in the Caribbean that is called the Emerald Isle of the West. And we only have, it's not a big island, it's very tiny. We're scattered all over. I've been living here since before the volcano, but ours started in 1995, and they went all the way back in the history of the island, and they couldn't find any volcanic eruptions for over 300 years. But it's a very serious thing. And another thing also, too, is that the trauma of it caused the women that their menstrual periods came down. So we had to send a lot of sanitary pads down, a lot of diapers, including other things to the island. So I understand what the people of St. Vincent, what they're going through.
Sarissa, thank you so much for that. Dr. Andrews, is that a history that you're familiar with at all in that case?
Yeah. The 1995 eruption of Montserrat actually was one of the first things I remember seeing about volcanoes as a child, basically on TV. It was absolutely devastating. I mean, it destroyed the capital city. There were pyroclastic flows that rushed down over the city. And again, people were, you know, more largely evacuated once activities start to ramp up. But this volcano also started with one of these lava domes And then it just, snapped into this kind of explosive phase. So, the volcanoes in this part of the world are really, can be extremely dangerous, and to the point where, the city of Plymouth in this case on Montserrat is just like a ghost town now. So it's a risky proposition when these things start erupting angrily.
And we just have a minute left in the segment. Nicole, I wonder if you as a community organizer in Brooklyn are aware if the federal government of this country is doing anything with respect to volcano relief on St. Vincent. The whole premise of us doing this segment is that this has kind of fallen through the cracks of the news in this country with so many other things going on, even as serious a situation as now our listeners are hearing that it is down there. Is this on Washington's radar, if you happen to know?
I don't think so.
Dr. Andrews, anything from you on that?
No, I don't. I'm not aware of anything, stateside-wise.
All right. So, Nicole, tell people one more time how they can contribute supplies. And I think it landed when we had Melissa's phone call with people in a visceral way, I'm guessing, when she's talked about what happened to some of the water supply, the drinking water supply down there, and that people are literally donating water to be flown down or shipped down to the island. So tell people one more time how they can help.
So you guys can contact me at mondaymagicsvg@gmail.com. That's mondaymagicsvg@gmail.com. Or you can call me at 347-694-5615. We're located at 4515 Avenue D in Brooklyn, New York. Just give me a drop-off time and we can make it happen.
That's Brooklyn-based community organizer Nicole DeCall. Also with us has been Robin George Andrews, volcanologist turned science journalist who has written about volcanoes for National Geographic, the New York Times, and other places. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.